friendship sweeter. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
That's right. I am so glad you're here. Welcome to the 16th day of November 2017. It is Joey Kroll with you 1 week from today. Think about this now. Thanksgiving Day 2017, a week from today. Time is a flying by. Any plans for Thanksgiving, by the way? Yeah, we're going to go visit my family up north Wednesday. Have supper early on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, and then we're going to head back and back to normal schedule by Thursday night. So looking forward to that, spending some time with my mom up north and Aubrey's family here. And so looking forward to that. And I hope and pray that you have plans with family, loved ones. And friend, if you can, I just encourage you next week to set aside some time and really just thank the Lord for his blessings and his mercy and his grace and his love that has been poured upon your life and mine. Friend, you and I have so, so much to be thankful for. So, and you know, here's the neat thing. We don't have to wait till November to praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. Hey, I appreciate your time and your attention today. It's so good to be here with you each and every Thursday. It is Mark and friends. My name is Joey Kroll. And as we continue here, the month of November, halfway through, by the way. Would you remember this radio ministry with a special Thanksgiving offering? From time to time, we do let you know that this ministry, this radio station, Great News Radio, is listener supported, which means what we do each and every day is through God's grace, but also through the financial support from listeners like you. So consider making a special Thanksgiving offering here in the month of November. You can write to us anytime. It's Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Again, that's Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Or if it's easier for you, you can call in your gift at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And from all of us here, thank you for your continued prayers and faithful contributions. You know, when tragedy strikes in our country, there are those who say, God, where were you in that tragedy? Where were you when the slaughter took place at that church a couple of weeks ago? Where were you in the Las Vegas shooting? Where were you? And today you and I are going to study God's word from the book of Genesis and take a look at a man by the name of Joseph who struggled tragedy after tragedy, obstacle after obstacle, and heartache after heartache. And we're going to take a look at his life today from the book of Genesis right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
So much more than any.
you so much for listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. I hope you are doing well today. And it was Sunday, November 5th, 2017, where we got news that a 26-year-old man walked into First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and unfortunately brought down 26 people. Most of them were children. And when situations like this occur, we say, God, where were you? September the 11th, 2001, after the tragic events that took place, people were asking, God, where were you? And that's a common question. God, where were you in the midst of this tragedy? Why did you allow this to happen? And today here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, we're going to take a look at a man who had tragic event after tragic event. And his name is Joseph in the Old Testament. So if you have your Bible, if you're able to join me, that would be wonderful. Genesis 37. And we're going to talk about God, where were you? Because I'm sure Joseph can be the one who would understandably stand up and raise his hand and say, God, where were you in this situation? In Genesis chapter 37, we see that Joseph at this time in this chapter, he is 17 years old. And in verse 3, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all the other sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Joseph, 17 years old. He was having dreams, but these were not daydreams. These were not foolish imaginations. They were not hellish nightmares. They were God-given dreams. God had told him that he was going to be a ruler. People were going to follow him, and he will lead them. Now think about this, 17 years old. His whole life is before him. It's filled with promise. It's filled with hope. It's filled with unlimited potential. But as we see here, he had struggle after struggle, tragic event after tragic event. He was betrayed. Genesis 37, verse 18, after they saw Joseph coming, his brothers saw him coming to them from far off. And verse 18 says they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes the dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal had devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father. Verse 23, so when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Verse 25, then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, not let our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. Friend, he was betrayed and sold by his own brothers. And we need to remember, when we read God's word, these are real people in real situations with real hurt, with real pain. He was betrayed at the age of 17 by his own brothers. It wasn't bad enough that he was betrayed, but he was betrayed by his brothers. He was betrayed by his own family. He was betrayed by his own flesh and blood. Think about the hurt. Think about the confusion. Think about the pain to know that you were betrayed by your own family and sold as a slave. People who should have loved you betrayed you. So he was betrayed, and then he was falsely accused. By this time, Joseph was brought down to Egypt by the Ishmaelites. He was bought by a man by the name of Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh. Potiphar had put Joseph in charge of the matters of his home. He was doing such a great job where Potiphar had no concerns. He didn't have to worry about anything because Joseph was doing a great job. And in Genesis chapter 39, verse 6, it says, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and time after time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything back from me except you, because you are his wife.' And she spoke to Joseph day after day. He would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said, 'See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice.' And she told her husband Potiphar, and Potiphar threw Joseph in prison." He was in prison for a crime that he did not commit. Being accused of rape. I mean, anybody that's ever been accused of something they didn't do knows the desire to clear your name. He's been accused of rape. Can you imagine the conversation that he had in prison? "Joe, why are you here?" "Well, I'm here because I was accused of rape, but I didn't do it." And everybody's saying, "Yeah, right. That's what we all say down here." So he was betrayed, he was falsely accused, and he was abandoned, because in Genesis chapter 40, Pharaoh sent down the cupbearer and the chief baker to prison. And they both were having dreams, and they would not understand what the dreams meant while they were in prison. And Joseph said, "I can interpret dreams." And Joseph said, "Hey, I will interpret your dreams if you remember me and tell Pharaoh that I am down here for a crime that I did not commit." And they agreed to that, and Joseph interpreted the dream. And when the chief cupbearer went back and was restored to his position, the Bible says that he did not remember Joseph, but he forgot about him. Joseph was wronged again. Now think about the hope that he had, because he was in prison for a crime he did. He wanted to find any way out of there to clear his name. And he thought he had an agreement with the chief cupbearer for Pharaoh, yet the Bible says in Genesis chapter 40, verse 23, "Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Seems like that verse has summed up his entire life. They forgot about him. If I was Joseph, here's what I would be thinking and processing. "My brothers hated me. They used me to make a profit when they sold me. My slave owners used me to be their slave. Potiphar's wife wanted to use me to satisfy her needs. The chief cupbearer used me to interpret his dreams. I am a nobody. I am a nothing. God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of this chaos? Where I don't see your hand, where are you?" Let me tell you something, friend. He's forgotten by his brothers. He's forgotten by that evil woman who lied about his character. He's forgotten by Potiphar. He's forgotten by the chief cupbearer. But friend, he is not forgotten by God, because 2 years later, Pharaoh started having dreams and wanted to know what they meant, and nobody knew what they meant, and until the chief cupbearer remembered Joseph. And so Pharaoh called up Joseph to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh and warned him that there was going to be 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh was so impressed that Joseph interpreted the dreams that he made Joseph ruler over Egypt. Ruler over Egypt. And God used him to save the land from the 7 years of famine. See, friend, this story has a sweet ending, but not all stories have a sweet ending like this, do they? And friend, no matter what kind of story you have, I want you to see something. After being sold into slavery and arrived in Egypt, Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 says, "The Lord was with Joseph." And after being thrown in prison after a crime that he did not commit, Genesis 39, verse 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." And again, in Genesis 39, verse 23, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. Here's a man who had every reason to complain. God, where are you? But three different times in one chapter, we are reminded that the Lord was with Joseph. Friend, I'm not sure what you have going on today, but I want to let you know the same God who was with Joseph is the same God that is with you and me today. We may not see the silver lining of what's going on, the chaotic stuff in our life this side of heaven, but one day all of it will make sense because Joseph, several years later, came across his brothers. And Joseph is ruler now, and Joseph said to his brothers, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." So I just want to encourage you today on this Thursday that the same God who was with Joseph in the midst of his tragic event after tragic event is the same God who is with you and with me today.
Saved us.
Stephen Curtis Chapman's rendition of Amazing Grace here on today's edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio. Hey, don't forget, coming up on Friday night, December 1st, 7 p.m., the Collingsworth family will be in town for their Christmas concert at the Lincoln Square Mall. Again, on Friday night, December 1st at 7 p.m., get tickets by calling 800-965-9324. 800-965-9324 or online at itickets.com. Hey, Mark and Jason in the studio tomorrow for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Hope you can tune in to that tomorrow morning at 7:32 a.m. Central Time. Until next time, friend, just remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.